right, you can be seated. Thank you, Bethany, Joanna, and everybody. Leslie, thank you for singing this morning. Great songs about our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I hope you've had a good week. It's good to see each and every one of you here today. It's been a beautiful week. I hear maybe more snow this week, right? But it's been beautiful so far. I've had a unique week. Joanna told me a couple weeks ago, she said, Josh, I think I would like white kitchen cupboards. I said, okay, honey, that would be no problem. Surely we can paint the cupboards white. And so we started looking for paint and doing those different things. And I, as Jerry Clower used to say, I commenced to painting. And I've been painting, and I have paint on my hands, and I have paint in my hair, and I have paint all over. I have everything is primed now, all right? I got two more coats to go. Pray for me this week as I'm trying to get that finished up. Also, be in prayer for the Parks family. Jim's mother passed away, Georgia, so be in prayer for them. Continue to be in prayer for Jessica Mace, whose dad passed away, and of course Terry's father as well. Be in prayer for each of them with the loss of loved ones. As we've been doing, go to Galatians chapter number 5. I know that we are going through the fruits of the Spirit, and then I read Galatians 5, and then we go all over the Bible. But that's what happens when you're doing a word-by-word study of the fruits of the Spirit. So as we've been doing, as we heard Lynn quote this morning, the fruits of the Spirit, let's turn to our neighbor and say, I love you. Now let's turn to our neighbor and say, let's be joyful. Maybe some of us need to say that again, right? Let's be joyful. And let's turn to our neighbor and say, God is a God of peace. He's a God of peace. He gives peace. And we're looking at these fruits of the Spirit. Just a few verses I wanted to remind you about from last week. Philippians chapter 4 and verse number 7. We studied the fruit of the Spirit being the peace that God gives, because God is a God of peace. In and of himself, he has a planned purpose and all these things. But the Bible says in Philippians 4, 7, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and mind through Christ Jesus. That's what kind of peace we're talking about. The peace of God that passes understanding. That God, because he in and of himself is peace, he is able to offer and give peace to us in our lives as we walk by the power of the Holy Spirit. And then Isaiah chapter 26 and verse number 3 says this about God. It says, that will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you, because he has trusted in thee. The Bible says that he will keep you in not just a little bit of peace, but in perfect peace, because that is who God is, he says in verse number 3, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. A lot of the dealings with the peace we have is where our mind goes. Sometimes if we worry about things and dread things, that keeps us from the perfect peace of God because we're relying upon our own abilities. But the Bible says that he will keep us in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on him. And that was the story I told you from Jesus in the boat, where the storm is raging and Jesus is asleep in the boat and the disciples are worried they're going to drown, and they go and wake Christ, and Christ calms the sea and rebukes the wind. The Bible says our hearts and our minds can be in perfect peace if it is stayed upon the Lord. Just a few things from last week. So we've been discussing the fruits of the Spirit is love and joy and peace. And this morning we get to everyone's favorite fruit of the Spirit, because we have discussed that as we've gone through these, that these are works of the flesh, which is our natural desires, and the works of the Spirit, which are things that come from God, as they are given by him, because he is the essence of all these things. He is the essence of love, he is the essence of joy, he is the essence of peace. But also, as we get to our fourth fruit this morning, we see a fruit that may be more difficult in our lives, which is, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, and then long-suffering. We could use the idea of patience here. Long-suffering and patience. And as we go through this, I want to explain something to you about the fruits of the Spirit. One author says it like this: these fruits are attitude fruits, okay? attitude produces the action. Sometimes in our lives, we get so busy trying to produce the action that we don't have the attitude that goes along with the action. You know what that's called, don't you? Hypocrisy. If you have action without attitude, then that's not really love. If you have action without attitude, that's not really joy. If you have action without attitude, that's not really peace. And if you have an action of being long-suffering, but not an attitude of long-suffering, then that's not really the fruit of the Spirit. Sometimes in our lives, as we are trying to be patient, we are having an inner turmoil, right? I give example of driving often, and maybe you're driving down the road, and someone in front of you is going 35 and a 55, and if you are absolutely losing your mind behind them, wanting to pass in a double line, or maybe you're going over hardscrabble pass, and you know you shouldn't be passing, and you're losing your mind, and you're saying to yourself, I'm being patient, I'm being patient. No, you're not. You're not being patient. You are simply have an action of patience, but you have no attitude of patience. If in our lives, maybe in your life, if you know someone you should be loving towards, and you aren't showing love to that person, and you're just faking that when you see them, that's not an attitude of love, that's just an action of love. And so I want to remind us as we go through the fruits of the Spirit that these are attitudes, and because we have an attitude of love, our actions become loving, right? Because we have an attitude of joy, we become joyful. Because we have an attitude of peace and trust in God, we have peace in our lives. And because we have an attitude of patience, that becomes working out in our life as we work through the power of the Holy Spirit. Action, as I said, without an attitude is just a form of hypocrisy. So as we think of patience, I'm reminded of the story of a woman who called American Airlines, and the lady answered, and she said, ma'am, how long is the flight from Munich to Dallas? And the lady began to type on her computer, and as she said on the phone, just a minute. And she said, thank you, and hung up. Right? You know, sometimes we aren't very patient in our lives. Just a minute is the flight. And so, okay. And then she hung up and didn't get the real answer. A woman rushed up to a famed violinist. His name was Fritz Kreisler, after a concert, and cried this. She said, I'd give my life to play as beautifully as you do. And the violinist responded by saying, I did. I was patient in my learning and growing. And so in our lives, a fruit of the Spirit of God is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, or as we call it this morning, patience. The purposes of God often develop slowly because God's grand designs are never hurried. Phillips Brooks, who was a well-known preacher in New England, was known for his calm and known for being collective in the things that he did. And one day, a friend saw him feverishly pacing back and forth in his office like a caged lion, it was written. And the friend looked at him and said, Mr. Brooks, what is the problem? And he responded, he said, I'm in a hurry, but God isn't. And so he was pacing back and forth. God teaches us through patience. And as you study, as I'll show you this morning, that God is a God that is long-suffering and patient. And there's two different words that are used in the Greek language for patience. One has the idea to remain under, the kind of patience that is exhibited when you remain under a trial or taxing circumstances that go through life. The ability to be patient, in other words, in the middle of a circumstance that is challenging or difficult. That's one idea of the word patience, but that's not the word that is used here in Galatians 5 in verse number 22, as he says, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, and long-suffering. The idea of the word, the Greek word that is used for long-suffering, or as we're saying this morning, is patience, has the idea of sending away. It's a Greek language that has large, and opposed to micro, the word is macro here, and it has the idea of distance, of something, these two words being put together. Let me read you this symbol that I have typed out. Macro in the Greek language means large, as opposed to micro, and even better to be taken away, which is thumia, which is the two words that are being combined, is related to thumos, which is anger. The person who pushes anger far away. That's the idea here. The person that is long-suffering is the one that pushes anger far away. That's the kind of patience or long-suffering we're talking about. In other words, wouldn't it be nice if the word that is being used here has to do with just patience in trials, right? I mean, that's hard enough. But unfortunately, the fruit of the Spirit here is being patient with people. Aren't you disappointed? Because sometimes people don't do or respond in the way that we would want them to do. Everybody has a different timetable. Everybody has a different way of doing things. Everybody has a different personality and different ways. Some people think it's the Daytona 500 on the highway. Some people think it's Mario Kart. I don't know. And there's different things that are going on there. So we have all these different personalities and all these different people. And he says the fruit of the Spirit is to push anger far away in relation to people. Because if you have lived in this world very long, it's not going to take much time until you find out that not everybody is the same. Not everybody does things the same. Can I get a witness with that, right? Not everybody's on the same timetable as you. And we also know that everybody thinks that their timetable is right. Come on now, don't leave me alone. Am I the only sinner in here, right? I mean, we all have an understanding that we have different opinions. We have different ways things should be done. We think to ourselves in the drive-thru, how long does it take to make a cheeseburger, right? See, there you are judging me again. Am I the only one that's ever thought that, right? No, we've all had those situations. We all have different ideas and when it has in relation to other people. But see, when we talk about God and the fact that God is long-suffering, it is oftentimes relating to his reactions to people. Let me show you this. Numbers chapter 14 and verse number 18. The book of Numbers chapter 14 and verse number 18. Numbers chapter 14 and verse number 18, the description of God. Now remember, I've done this every fruit of the Spirit. You got to understand this. All these fruits come from God. These fruits are the essence of who he is, not the essence of who I am. I am the works of the flesh, but he is able to produce in me the fruits of the Spirit because that is who he is. He is love, he is joy, he is peace, and he is also long-suffering. That's what the Bible says in Numbers 14, verse 18. The Bible says, the Lord is long-suffering and of great mercy, forgiving iniquity and transgression. That's a description of God. He is telling you about who God is, and one of his attributes here is that God is long-suffering and of great mercy. Go to Psalms 86 and verse number 15. The book of Psalms, chapter 86 and verse number 15. The Bible says this, but thou, O Lord, art a God full of compassion and gracious, he says, long-suffering and plenteous in mercy and truth. Now I wonder, I won't ask you to raise your hand this morning, but I wonder if not everyone in this room has experienced at some point in their life the long-suffering of God. Have there been times where you have done or acted or behaved in a way that God was not pleased with, and yet he was long-suffering with you? He was gracious with you. He was compassionate towards us. That is part of who our God is. I wonder sometimes why God does not strike me with lightning, right? But I wonder sometimes why that God, as you look at this world, you say, when are you coming back? How much more can we take? How much further can people get from you? And yet God is continuing to be long-suffering, because that's who he is. But thou, O Lord, art a God full of compassion. There's a story that's told about a patriarch in the Old Testament that was set up in his tent there. And this is not necessarily written in Scripture, but it's a story that was passed down. And that this man came along. He was 86 years old, and he was being fed by one of the patriarchs. And the man, he went to eat the food that was provided to him, and he didn't pray for his food. The patriarch got up from his seat, grabbed the man, threw him out of his tent, and sent him on his way for not praying for his food. And the Lord spoke to the man and said, I have been patient with him for 86 years, and you could not withstand him for one night. Threw him out, right? And so that's part of who God is. But thou, O Lord, art a God full of compassion and gracious and long-suffering. Let me just read you a few verses. You don't necessarily have to turn to them. In James chapter 5 and verse 7 and 8, the Bible says, be patient therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. What James 5:7 says, be patient unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth, and hath long patience for it, until he receive the early and latter rain. Be also patient. Establish your heart, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. That God is patient, and we are encouraged to be patient. 1 Peter chapter 3, talking about the story of Noah. Now, they didn't build boats as quick then as they are now, but many would say it took Noah 100 to 120 years to build the boat. In 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse number 20, the Bible says this about God, which sometime were disobedient, when once the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah while the ark was being prepared. 120 years. Wherein few, that is 8 souls, were saved by the water. Patience of God. God demonstrated his patience until the ark was finished. And then Paul writing in 1 Timothy chapter number 1 and verse 15 to 16 says this, this is a faithful saying, he says, worthy of all acceptation, that Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners. Everybody knows that passage. If you don't, you've probably heard it before. And then he says this, howbeit, he says, for this cause I obtained mercy. What cause? That in me first Jesus Christ might show forth something. He says, I obtain mercy. The Apostle Paul is writing, he said he might show something, that he would show his long suffering for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to everlasting life. That's talking about the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul hated Christians. He was there when they stoned Stephen after he preached to the Jewish people, held his coat. And he was there, and on the road to Damascus, to get more permission for more people to be killed. And Paul said, I was saved to show forth the long suffering as a pattern for them which should hereafter believe. There's no doubt, as you study Scripture, that God is long suffering. God has been patient with me, he has been patient with you. That is demonstrated as part of who God is with the ark that Noah built, with the Apostle Paul in his life, with the book of Numbers, writing about who God is and how he operates in the lives of person after person. God has been long-suffering. In the life of my father, who was saved later in life, in the life of my grandfather, who was saved just days before he passed away, in the lives of many people who accepted Christ, God was patient with them. I told you the story, I believe, maybe I didn't, of a man named Wilson Woodard that I had witnessed to for 12 years solid, thrown off his porch, door slammed in my face, told never to come back, until one day the Spirit spoke to my heart and said, walk to Wilson's house and talk to him. And again, I told you this story. I said, Lord, he's just going to throw me off again. We used to have guest speakers in town, and I would drop them off down the street to make it look like it was an accident that they were at his house, and they would walk to his door and knock and witness to him. Wilson had a spinal meningitis. He recovered from that. Many times he was at death's door. He had black lung from being a coal miner. And many times he was at death's door, but God kept him alive. Until that day when God said, Josh, go to Wilson's house and talk to him about the Lord. I argued a little. I was like Jonah, right? Are you sure? This is not going to go well. And so I'm walking down the road. I go to Wilson's house, knock on the door. His wife, Virginia, opens the door and said, Wilson's in the back room. I said, okay. So I go back there expecting to be thrown out of the house at any minute. I sit down at the table. Wilson's eating a bowl of beef stew, which Virginia made excellently. And I said, Wilson, you know you need to be saved. And Wilson looked up at me, and he began to cry. And he began to cry. And he began to cry. And for 10 minutes, Wilson could not speak. He began to weep and weep over the fact that he knew he needed to be saved. And there at the kitchen table, God's patience with Wilson came to a conclusion as Wilson bowed his head and accepted Christ as his Savior. Wilson never hardly missed a day of church from that day. He was in his mid-80s at that point. Never hardly missed a day of church until his back became so bad that he could barely walk. And even then, I would be in my office and the doorbell would ring at the church. It would be Wilson, who sometimes would have just been let out of the hospital, would be at the door giving his donation to the church. I'd say, Wilson, what are you doing? You shouldn't be out here. It was about 2 years ago I preached Wilson's funeral. And I'll see him again. God was patient with Wilson until he became a Christian. God has demonstrated his patience. Some of the greatest missionaries in history devoted to spreading the good news of Christ had to wait a long time before they saw fruits for their efforts. I read that William Carey, for example, labored 7 years before his first Hindu convert was brought to Christ. Adoniram Judson worked 7 years before his faithful preaching was rewarded. It was 14 years before one convert was received into the Christian church in New Zealand. It took 9 years, and in Tahiti, it took 16 years. I mean, all people waiting and waiting and working for the Lord. God being patient. Thomas A. Kempis said this, describes patience in this way. He deserves not the name of patient who is only willing to suffer as much as he thinks proper and for whom he pleases. The truly patient man asks nothing from whom he suffers. He simply trusts in God. So I ask you this morning, how is our patience? It is a work of the flesh to be impatient. It is a work of the Spirit to be patient. God is a God that demonstrates long-suffering. So now, let's shift gears for a moment. Hopefully I help you understand that God is a God that demonstrates his long-suffering, his patience towards us. You say, well, Josh, what does that mean for me? I'm glad you asked. I love when you ask questions like this. Go to Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 1. Let's apply this. Because God is a God of love, we should be loving. Because God is a God of joy, he produces his joy. Because God is a God of peace, he produces his fruit of peace. Not just action, but attitude. It's an attitude of love, an attitude of joy, an attitude of peace, and an attitude of patience. Ephesians 4 and verse number 1. Ephesians 4 and verse number 1, where the Bible gives a challenge here. The Apostle Paul writing, he says this, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called. Now remember, I've explained to you before, what does it mean to walk? It's a lifestyle. This is how I live. This is how I function. This is how I live my life. I'm walking worthy of the call, he says. And then he gives a little list on how we should walk, with all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering. That's the same idea, the same word, that we walk in long suffering towards one another, forbearing one another in love, lifting each other up in love. And just in case you missed that instruction, well, the Apostle Paul says, because of who you are, because you're a Christian, because you're a believer in Christ, walk worthy of how you're called with long suffering. Just in case that isn't clear enough, go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse number 14. He says this, "Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak," and then he says this, "be patient towards all men." Be patient towards all men. So just in case we missed Ephesians 4:1, where he says that we should be long-suffering, it's pretty clear in Thessalonians, be patient with all men. Now let me ask you a question. And I won't ask you to raise your hand, but you can answer in your own mind. Who finds that to be easy? No one, right? Be patient with all men? Oh, mercy, can't we just say some? I mean, that would be better. But the Bible says be patient with all men. Let's think of the people that God has been patient with. Let's think of us. No other example, just think of yourself. That's who I think of. When I think of how God has been patient, I think of me. And I say, Lord, how patient you have been with my foolish ways and my foolish ideas and my foolish actions, and yet you have been patient with me. And so he says that we as Christians, as followers of Christ, should be patient with all men. And then he continues on. Let me show you this one more. Colossians chapter 1 and verse number 9. Colossians 1 and verse number 9. Again, it's like just hammering the point home, he says. So Paul writing again, church at Colossae, writing to them, he says this, "For this cause also, since the day we heard it," what is he hearing of? You could read about that earlier in chapter 1. But he says this, basically, verse 4 is what, "Since we heard of the faith of your faith in Christ Jesus and the love which you had to all the saints." That's what he'd heard about. He had heard of their faith in Christ and their love for the saints. And then he continues on, almost saying, don't forget about these things. As he says in verse number 9, "For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you might walk worthy," same word there, "that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God." And then we get to the application here. He says in verse number 11, "Strengthened with all might," that's not your power, that's his, "strengthened with all might," in verse number 11, "according to his glorious power." And if the first thing on the list isn't patience, it's kind of like God knows us. Do you think? It's kind of like God recognizes that patience does not come naturally. It's kind of like God understands what the flesh is like. It's almost like he's seen us drive, or seen us at a restaurant, or understands the things that we do or say. He says, "Strengthen with all might according to his glorious power, unto all patience and long suffering." Oh, why does that got to be there? "With joyfulness." Are you kidding me? I mean, just knock me upside the head. So I not only got to be patient and long-suffering, but I got to be joyful while I do it. That's what we're talking about. It's an attitude, not just an action. So let's ask ourselves this morning, and again, you ought to be me. This is my second time hearing this. Right? I had to preach this to myself first. And then I have to come out here and present it again. I mean, I'm really getting beat up this morning, right? And so understand, one preacher says, for every one finger that's pointed there, there's four pointing back at me, right? And so as Christian people, we have an attitude of love. And the attitude produces the action. We have an attitude of joy. And the attitude of joy produces the action of joy. We have an attitude of peace because we know who our God is, and the attitude of peace produces the action of peace. And then we also have an attitude of patience. You know, I have several things in my life that have taught me patience. I'm not saying I'm completely there. I have a 2011 Ford F-150 that we hooked to a 30-foot travel trailer and drove from Virginia to Wyoming and Virginia to Utah and Virginia to Colorado. And I can go about 63 miles an hour. And we would drive about 5,000 miles to produce this trip, right? I had to learn patience. I mean, you're being passed by everybody, school buses, blowing you off the road like you're not even there, you know? And you're driving 5,000 miles towing. Then you get in South Dakota and it's 65 miles an hour wind. I was going 30 miles an hour. And it was giving me all it had. Patience, right? You know, I've been going places and had flat tires. This is not the time, right? Then I would maybe go a little further down the road and see there was an accident. I think, well, maybe God spared me from what was happening there. You know, patience really is trusting in God. One author says this, and I love this. Impatience is a form of unbelief. Impatience is a form of unbelief. It's what we begin to feel when we start to doubt the wisdom of God's timing, goodness, our guidance. Oh, impatience is unbelief. It's what we begin to feel when we doubt God's wisdom, timing, goodness, our guidance. It springs up in our heart when the road to success gets muddy, are strewn with boulders, are blocked by fallen trees. Impatience can be an example or a demonstration of our unbelief. So no wonder a fruit of the Spirit is to be long-suffering, because we're relying upon God and His wisdom with relation to other people, with relation to our lives, to begin to trust in the Lord. So I ask you this morning, as I've had to ask myself, are we being long-suffering? Are we patient with those around us? Well, you don't understand. They don't think like I do. I know. We all have different things and different ways and different understandings. I recognize it. And you're not necessarily called to understand every detail, but I believe according to Scripture, we are called to be long-suffering. And we're called to demonstrate what God has demonstrated to us. And listen, I'm going to tell you this. This is not possible with your own power. Have you figured that out yet? I have. This is not possible. So you don't know how my wife acts sometimes. You don't know what my husband does. He's a jerk. I understand. You know, men can be jerks. Sorry, guys. Sorry. No one's laughing at that. It's lost the whole crowd, right? All the men are like, I'm never coming again. Right? I understand. Well, people can act certain ways. I recognize that. This is not possible without God, because only God has demonstrated this. This was demonstrated, I'm almost done. This was demonstrated by Christ. Hebrews 12 says, let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Running with patience. Christ endured the cross knowing, well, you talk about patience. In the ministry of Christ, people calling him a devil, all kinds of names, trying to crucify him, trying to get rid of him sooner than what was planned. Then he gets put on trial, goes to trial after trial. They're spitting on him. They're putting thorns on his head. You know that story. Talk about patience. I've told you before, if that was me, I'd say, ha, forget this. Angels, come down, wipe them all out. We'll start over. All right? But that's not what he did. He demonstrated his long suffering with man. Even with the Apostle Paul, he demonstrated that. You get the point. It's impossible unless we have an attitude of these fruits that are producing the action, and the attitude is produced by the Spirit of God. Quit trying to beat your flesh into submission. You've got to have the Spirit of God and His power and His strength. Joanna and Bethany are going to come this morning. Let's have a moment today where we just talk to the Lord. Again, as I've said before, the Holy Spirit is a much better teacher than me. The Holy Spirit is certainly much more convicting than me. But I wonder if this morning, if the Holy Spirit has not worked in your heart in an area where we have not demonstrated this fruit. As Joanne and Bethany play, let's just bow our heads together. And what I want you to do this morning is respond to how the Holy Spirit has spoken to you. Respond in your heart to how the Spirit has spoken to you. Maybe it's a friend, a family member. Maybe it's your own spouse that you need to be long-suffering with. Maybe it's a church friend. Maybe it's your children. Maybe if you're a child, it's your parents. Are we demonstrating this fruit? Do we have the attitude of being long-suffering? Take a moment, talk to the Lord this morning. They play for just one moment. This is the next challenge I have for you this morning. Is there a person? Is there a name? Is there a situation that you can think of that we can exercise what we've learned this morning? Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for the Word of God. Thank you, Lord, that these fruits are not left to our own selves, but they are produced by your power and your strength. Help us to have an attitude of love, an attitude of joy, an attitude of peace, and an attitude of patience and being long-suffering. Each of these have been demonstrated by you, and they are empowered by you. Help us, Lord, to live our lives in your control, in your strength. We thank you for what you have done for us. We thank you for caring enough for us to save us, to love us, and ultimately to take us home to be with you for all eternity. We pray for the many that are traveling this day. Pray for those that are not feeling well. We pray for Denise with her surgery Wednesday that it would go well. Pray for those that couldn't be here today. We ask God that you would work in each and every heart. And may we practice what your word has taught us this day. In Jesus' name, amen.